the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This beautiful gospel of the ninth chapter from the Gospel of John, our Lord heals a man born blind. And it's clearly a text about not just physical blindness, but spiritual blindness. This is normally the way the Holy Fathers interpret all of our Lord's healings. But our Lord himself gives that interpretation to this encounter with the blind man in the final words of the chapter. He says, I came to the world to judge the world. What's that judgment? He says, the judgment is this, that if you say that you're blind, you'll be able to see. But if you say that you see, that in itself makes you blind. And the Pharisees, totally perplexed about this, they ask, it seems rhetorically, are we blind? They can't imagine themselves being the blind. They're not physically blind, they can see just fine, but they're every bit as confident in their spiritual sight as they are in their physical sight. And so our Lord has to tell them directly, if you were blind, he said, if you were to say that you were blind, then your sins, you wouldn't have sins. They would be gone. They would be forgiven. They would be banished from you. But since you say we see, your sins remain. So this is the bottom line. This is the core of this text, is whether or not we see ourselves as people who are, you know, kind of, we understand the world, we see the world, the spiritual world, we understand how things are supposed to work, and this kind of built-in self-reliance and self-confidence, or whether we come to Christ and say, I'm blind, I need sight. Now, if we go back to the very beginning, what I said was maybe just a little misleading, if we go back to the very beginning, we'll see that the opening line is Jesus was just going down the road and he comes across this man who was born blind. And the fathers of the church see this as the expression of the universal spiritual blindness. We're born into the world spiritually blind. Not everyone is born into the world physically blind, but everyone is born into the world spiritually blind. It's the effects of Adam's sin. So we're in need of a spiritual awakening and enlightenment, a spiritual birth. And sometimes when our Lord performs healings and miracles in the scriptures, it's in response to being asked, even in the case of healing blindness outside of Jericho, a man along the side of the road, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He's the one who asks. Jesus is just passing by like here, but he doesn't initiate them. Blind man initiates. Here, Jesus initiates. In the end, the Gospels express both God's initiative toward us and our initiative toward God. And at the time of Blessed Augustine, the early 400s, there was a debate in the life of the church. Pelagius, a monk from Great Britain, actually, went down into the region in Italy and would preach that we on our own initiative can approach God, and sure, it's great if he helps us, but we really have this built into our human nature that we can go to God as it were on our own. And Blessed Augustine had developed a quite famous and it seems to me somewhat extreme, but some other people don't think so extreme response of God's initiative in such a strong way that maybe it compromises our free will. But in the Eastern Church, the response was written by St. John Cassian. At that time he lived in the West, but it's the position that the Church has followed. He has this very beautiful description of going through case after case of miracles in the scriptures, where sometimes God initiates, sometimes Jesus initiates, sometimes the diseased or injured person or a parent of the injured person or the initiates. And St. John Cassian says that we have to embrace the whole of this, but what it means is this: always God's grace comes first. The air we breathe, that life that we're given, that we come to existence out of non-existence, all of these things that we say in the prayers of the church, God's grace is always poured out on us, like our Lord said, God makes the rain down on the righteous and the unrighteous. The sun shines on the righteous and the unrighteous. His grace pervades this earth. But we can't say that it pervades it in such a way that it removes our freedom. We always have to respond. And so we're all born blind. God is always revealing himself, initiating with us in different ways. In today's episode of the Gospels, he's initiating not just with the blind man, but with the disciples, teaching them, not just with them, but with the parents of the blind man, who are recoiling in fear from the leaders of the synagogue, but also with the Pharisees and the Jewish people around. He's always initiating with us at every moment of our life. His grace is always there, but it always waits for our response. God doesn't force himself on us. And so in the encounter with the man born blind, Jesus doesn't just heal him independent of what he wants or what he's interested in or how he contributes. Jesus takes dirt from the ground and spits into it, just like he took dirt from the ground in the creation story and breathed into it and anointed this man with it, very clear anointing. And then he told him, go to the pool of Siloam and wash it. And then St. John tells us the word Siloam means sent, or it could even be in Greek, it could be sent one. And the Holy Fathers see this very clearly as an image of baptism, because Jesus is all constantly referring to himself in the Gospel of John as the sent one. It's the Father who sent me. He calls himself the sent one time and again. And so the calling here is for us to go to the sent one and be washed, to be baptized. Be baptized into Christ, to be washed by Christ. This is what it is that cures the spiritual blindness. This is the image that we're given. And then this is the man's response to God's initiative in his life. And then this becomes our response to God's initiative in our life. Sure, first our baptism, but many people are baptized as infants, and their response is done on behalf of them by their parents, by their godparents, by the life and body of the church. But our baptism, whether as an infant or as an adult, is, to be sure, this awakening, this transformation, this change, spiritual change, but it's also the image that becomes the pattern for our whole life. When we face to the west and renounce Satan and spit on him, and then we turn to the east and unite ourselves to Christ, we're saying this is the pattern for our life. It's the first step of a life of walking. And every single step in that spiritual walk is a turn away from the west and toward the east, to turn from the God of this world to the Creator of this world. And so God initiates, even as Jesus did with this man he was just walking by and saw along the side of the road. But we have to respond to that initiative. For the work of God to be manifest, Jesus said that he had this illness, not because of any sin, but so that the work of God could be manifest in the world. And for the work of God to be manifest, not only does God initiate, but we have to respond, to exercise that freedom. And then we see a very beautiful sort of a progression. I'll say it first, progression, and then I'll take it back after I describe it. And in this dialogue with these different people, the townspeople and the Pharisees on multiple different occasions, we can see first the man describing his healing, saying, the man called Jesus. did such and such, and I could see. But then that's with the townspeople, and then in the discussion with the Pharisees, there's a dispute among them. You know, how can anybody heal someone on the Sabbath? He can't be from God. But yeah, but how can anybody heal someone born blind? He must be from God. And so a dispute arose from them, among them, and they asked the man, well, so what do you say? You're the one who was healed. What do you think? He said, he's a prophet. And then shortly after that, after the blind man, the healed blind man, gives them a bit of a lecture, and they cast him out and excommunicate him from the community. And Jesus goes to him and says, do you believe in the Son of God? And the man says, who is he that I might believe in him? And Jesus says, look, the one speaking to you, I'm the Son of God. And he says, I believe, and he worshiped him. So we have this progression. Some man named Jesus did this stuff, and now I can see. Well, who do you think he is? He's a prophet. The prophet's the one who speaks for God, acts for God, is sent from God. He speaks on God's behalf. He's not just any old man. Turns out he's the Son of God himself. So you see this progression, and in some ways we all have to go through that progression of deepening our understanding of this person revealed to us in the Gospels, really very much as a human being. But a human being is not a normal, ordinary human being. Special in such a deep and profound way that he's at once totally human and totally God, truly human and truly God. So we go through that progression, but for us in our Christian life, it's maybe a little misleading because we're taught these things from when we're very young. These are not just intellectual truths that we're supposed to affirm. This man who was healed came to experience Jesus in this way. First is a man who through healing, the man named Jesus, a prophet, and then the Son of God. So it has to be woven into our experience that this God-man is the God-man, truly human, truly sent from God, truly God. And that doesn't necessarily happen linearly in our lives. So there's this progression that happens in the life of this man. But in our lives, we just learn these things. We are taught these things. We're taught to interpret the scriptures this way. We hear it constantly in our hymns. But in our experience, we have to grow and deepen day by day with each of these little steps that we take that are turning away from the world of darkness and blindness toward the world of light and sight. With each of these steps, admitting that we're blind, so that we can turn and see. That's really what it is. Oh, I'm looking in the wrong direction, Lord. I need to stop looking west. I need to look east. And with each of these steps, little by little, we deepen our experience of the humanity of Christ, of the profound gift of the incarnation, that he came to be one of us, to take on our human nature. This profound gift that he's given us as being, having come down from heaven, having been sent by his Father. No one can tell us the things that are above unless he's been there, is what he tells Nicodemus. You can't tell people what it's like in heaven unless you've been there. You can't tell somebody what honey tastes like unless you've tasted it yourself. And so the one who's sent from the Father, the prophet to speak for us, to reveal this to us. But more than that, as we're told at the beginning of the book of Hebrews, God spoke in a lot of different ways in times past, through all different sorts of people, through angels, through prophets. But now, he comes to be among us and to speak to us through and in the person of his own Son, the Son of God. So again, not so much a progression one to the other for us, living the life of the church, but a continual kind of falling of the scales from our eyes a little bit more every day. A little bit more as we say, Lord, I'm blind. Will you give me sight? Knowing that even that is a response to his initiative in our lives. So often in the course of our days, we say, oh, I haven't prayed at all today, or I'm upset, or I'm disturbed about this, or I'm anxious about that. And immediately we become discouraged or disappointed in ourselves, negative toward ourselves. When we do that, we just continue to face to the west. When we get disappointed in ourselves, we're not acknowledging that it's God who reminded us that we haven't prayed yet today. It's God who showed us that we're a little bit anxious or a little discouraged or a little irritated. It's God who reveals to us the situation that we're in. It's his initiative in our life. It's not even always negative. It might be that it's God who reveals to us that we feel a kind of delight, a joy in the birds that are singing and the flowers that are blooming. All of these things are God's initiative. The question is, will we turn in on ourselves, become discouraged or happy, delighted or sad, despondent, because of our interpretation of our world, presuming that we see? And insofar as we act and live in such a way that we see, we remain blind to this profound spiritual initiation by the God-man in our lives. But if at that moment of initiation by God, in the simplest, most commonplace, ordinary ways of something coming into our mind, of seeing or hearing something in the world around us, we don't turn to ourselves, we don't remain facing west, but we say, Lord, thank you for reminding me of you. Thank you for the beauty of this day. Thank you for showing me that I'm irritated. I'm upset with this person. Thank you for reminding me that I haven't prayed. If our response to his initiation is to respond to him, in that way we're turning east. We're saying, Lord, I'm blind. I've been blind. I've been looking at the world through my own eyes as if I could see the spiritual reality that is here. But thank you for showing me that I couldn't. Now I want to go wash in the pool of the sentiment. I want to be rebaptized at this very moment.